The book of Numbers, chapter 13. We're glad to be here again with the saints at West End. We, of course, make our home assembly at the new assembly in Portage called the Fifth Avenue Gospel Hall. It was nice to see with about 35, almost 40 of us met together for the first time to break bread this last Lord's Day. Although for a few weeks now we've been having Sunday night gospel meetings, and in the week, of course, a prayer meeting and Bible reading. It was nice to see most of the brethren took part in the breaking of bread in hymns or reading of the scriptures or in giving thanks. We also heard that in the assembly where they came out of, there was a great liberty amongst many young brethren that you would never otherwise hear taking part. So the hiving off has been a blessing for both places. We anticipate having a series of gospel meetings very soon with brother coming from England. And so we trust that some souls will. We had about four or five strangers out Sunday night that I'd never seen out before. So we're very glad for that. Now we're going to read together in Numbers chapter 13. We hope that whatever is said tonight will be of encouragement to us. It's regarding the man called Caleb. I don't know if you know that his name has a twofold connotation. One is it's a dog. The dog is a very faithful animal. If you are into pets, dogs or cats, and you move away, just leave the cat behind because it is bound to an area, not to an individual. But a dog is different. If you don't put it into a home where there's going to be taken care of, that dog will try to find out where you have moved to. But let's read a few scriptures together regarding this man, Caleb. In Numbers chapter 13, and we'll read in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. For the sake of time, verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land. Down the chapter, verse 25, And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And then we'll read in verse 26, And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwelt in the land. And the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were on our own side as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? They said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. And their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Now there are other portions that we could read when it comes to the experience of Caleb and Joshua, the only two original ones that were born in Egypt and born again in Egypt. They were there that night in Exodus chapter 12 when the blood was applied with the wonderful truth, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Caleb and Joshua wandered with the people of Israel. You had the majority report and the minority report. Of course, that was not an act of faith on the part of the people of Israel. God had promised them the promised land. And to send spies out was already indicative of no full confidence and trust in the Lord. But we find that Caleb and Joshua had another spirit. And when they returned, the 12, from spying out the land, first of all, there was the majority report. And they told that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But they were going by sight and not by faith. It's what they saw that disturbed them. And when they brought back, as the Bible says, an evil report, it made the people of Israel sink in their shoes, you might say, and draw back. When Caleb and Joshua were asked to speak, they didn't contradict anything that the other 10 had said. All that he had said was true, but they placed between themselves and God the problem. And when they saw the problem, their eye was not upon the Lord, who is greater than any problem. And so when Caleb was asked to speak and Joshua, they said all that the other said was true, but with Caleb and Joshua, they were going to walk by faith. They were going to trust in the living God. God had promised them the promised land, and they were going to go in. And that's why they said, it says they stilled the people. The encouraging words of Joshua says, it's true, there are giants in the land, but God says, go forward. You remember when Israel came to the Red Sea, they rejoiced. He sang, "The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider have been cast in the sea." Their eye was upon God. And that was the only way in which they could look. Because the Egyptian, the host of Pharaoh's soldiers were pressing on behind them. And the desert on both sides and the Red Sea before them. There was only one way they could look, and that was to look up. And of course, when we get our eye upon the Lord, we don't see the problem anymore. And now if they rejoice by the Red Sea, the Bible says they wept by Kadesh Barnea. They should have gone into the land in 11 days, and it took them 40 years. And even though Joshua and Caleb had faith to go in and possess the land, but when the people would go in, they remained with the people. And you can just think of them for 40 years. Caleb and Joshua, who were enjoying by faith the fruits of the promised land, had to move with an unbelieving people. 3 million of people as they moved through the wilderness. They could have maybe withdrawn themselves from the people of Israel. Sometimes in our present day, because of difficulties in the assembly, people withdraw from the local assembly instead of putting their back, because Caleb's name means wholehearted. That's what we need, brothers and sisters, as we enter into this year of 2008. We need to have a heart for the things of God. And the only way we're going to have a heart at something more than just being saved. Thank God for the day of our salvation, but there's more to Christian experience than just to know I'm saved and going to heaven. How about entering into the fruits of the promised land? How about entering into the joy of enjoying the Lord Jesus with his people in the local assembly? And so we find here that Caleb is very disheartened because of the rebellion of the people of Israel. If we could just turn over to the next book, and that is in Joshua chapter 14. It is three times over in the Bible that Caleb and Joshua are brought before us. First of all, in Deuteronomy in chapter 1, which we are not going to read tonight, that gives us a bit of the history in the past and how the Lord speaks about his people. They were rebellious because they didn't move forward in faith. And what we read in Numbers has to do with the attitude of Joshua and Caleb. And now we read in Joshua in chapter 14. So we begin at verse 4. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the son of God, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Notice, "but I wholly followed the Lord." Now you might say that's a little bit of pride on the part of Caleb. But it's not only Caleb said that of himself. Moses also said he wholly followed the Lord. And Joshua, the leader that took the place of Moses, he said he wholly followed the Lord, as well as Jehovah God reiterated the same word. And so we find here that Moses, of course, he dies in the wilderness. The law could not bring anybody into the promised blessing. Joshua takes the place of Moses. Remember in John chapter 1 we read, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Law keeping, do's and don'ts, is not the criterion of a Christian's life. One criterion, that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So if the law was given by Moses, which couldn't bring him into the promised land, he dies in the wilderness. And under a new leadership, the leadership of Joshua, whose name in the New Testament means Jesus, he brings them into the blessing. And so what we see in the life of this man, Caleb, is the action of faith. He looked to God. And because he looked to God, his heart was encouraged to move forward. And although he had to move with a disobedient people, yet his heart was in the things of the Lord. And so we read here, read in verse 8, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." Now notice what he gets this man Caleb because of his action of faith and devotion to Jehovah God and to carry out his word. The first thing he gets, if we'll read in verse 11 of this same chapter, that is Joshua chapter 14 and verse 11, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. For my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, but both to go out and to come in." Now notice, "Now therefore give me this mountain." Mountains in the Bible is elevation. It's drawing near to God. "Draw near to me and I will draw near unto thee." So he got this wonderful promise of being elevated in the presence of God. And notice in verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron means fellowship. You notice in the New Testament, read that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from all sin. What a fellowship is to enjoy the nearness of the Lord Jesus. He got Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day. Notice, because that he wholly followed the Lord. And then we read at the close, "And the land had rest from war from that day onward." So Caleb got fellowship. He got nearness to God. He becomes a good example. Remember the Apostle Paul said in the Romans, he says, "All whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." And when we think of it, brethren and sisters, what did Caleb have and what do we have today? He didn't have the whole canon of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. He didn't have any precedent to go by. He did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit that witnesses to the things of God. All he had was the word of God from Moses to the people of Israel to go in to possess the land of which they were to go into. And so we find that in the present day, brethren and sisters, as we have entered into 2008, with the whole canon of Scripture, with the indwelling Spirit, with all these examples of the Old Testament that give us encouragement, role models, that we might look to them. And Caleb is one whose exercise of faith makes it an encouragement for us as the people of God. We hope, too, as we think of the Fifth Avenue Gospel Hall there, we have some ideas that we should get more and more out amongst the people. Instead of having just special series of gospel meetings and no contacts, let's build bridges with the people. Let's get out amongst the people and try to make contact and get them orientated to the truth of the gospel, so that when we have a special series of meetings, we'll have people that we can bring along. And so these characters are on the scriptures to encourage us as the people of God. And you know, the Bible says in the epistle of Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. And that's exactly what Caleb had. He had his eye upon the God. He saw the giants of the land. He saw the difficulties that were ahead of them. But what encouraged the people was the fact is, yes, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so we trust, brethren, as we've entered into this year, we might have our eye upon the Lord Jesus. It's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to enjoy our salvation. And to enjoy our salvation, we need to be into the Holy Scriptures. When I grew up in the Reformed circles, we read practically only in the Old Testament, but we never had the truth brought before us, what it really meant. They were just lovely stories, but there was no application. But when we started coming out to the gospel hall after we were saved and listened to the ministry of the Word of God, we thought, well, these people have another Bible, because I've never seen that before. I've never seen that before. And so it's a good thing, brethren and sisters, for us to get into the Old Testament as well, as it divine principles are there that are applicable in our life day by day as the people of God. And so may God encourage us as we have looked into Caleb, the man of faith. Shall we pray? We thank thee, loving Father, that thou hast given us thy word as a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. We thank thee for these Old Testament characters, Father, although they didn't have all that we have today, but what they did have, they acted upon. And we know that faith is the only thing that pleases God. That's how we began our Christian life. That's how we should continue to live our Christian life. And thank God, that's how we'll end our Christian life, by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus, the one who died and rose again to purchase our eternal salvation. So bless us, Father, as we have come into this new year of 2008, that we might know more of his presence in our life and seek to make him known. Remember through those that are laid aside, we think of destiny at this time. Remember all that is done to bring about a recovery. Remember our brother Jim Webb that is to have this consultation and finally to undergo this operation, a triple bypass. And we do pray that thou would settle his spirit and encourage his heart. So remember all of us, Father. We know not what this year has in store for us, but we thank thee, Father, day by day we can place our hand in his hand, and the sovereign God who knows all and directs all will govern and guide us, we do pray, until traveling days are done. Bless us all, Father, and make us a blessing, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.